How many people have your Bibles today? If you have your Bibles, stand up and raise them above your head and bear witness of God's Word. All right, you may be seated. Isn't it amazing how a child's mind that's not developed as ours can accept something as true even when they can't understand it? They can believe something that they don't understand. This is one of the things that God requires us to do if we want to have fellowship with Him. And today I want to talk about some things that you might think are impossible, some things that are hard for us to logically understand. And then I want us to be able to see that we could go our whole life categorizing things as impossible, and we would be able to do this by our logic, but in the fact of doing that, we would miss out on seeing God do the possible out of what we think is impossible. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn them to Matthew chapter 17 and Luke chapter 1. Matthew 17 and Luke 1. I want to start by saying each time I have an opportunity to speak on behalf of God, I have to go back and look at my life. I have to go back and sort of take into account a lot of the places that I may have failed the Lord or may have come up short, times in my life when I didn't feel the fellowship of God, times in my life where I watched all those things happen, but I sort of stood outside, sort of on the sideline, and I watched the Lord do things, and a lot of those things He did I thought were impossible. A lot of my life I spent with worry and anxiety, fear that something wouldn't happen. As a matter of fact, even if you take the word stress, I hear this a lot today. It seems to be our go-to word. I'm stressed out. I want to tell you, as a child of God, He never wants you to be stressed out. Stressed out is when you take something that you don't understand and you keep trying to understand it and keep trying to accomplish it and you achieve this level of stress. That means you've stretched yourself. Because you have a plan that you want to put in place, and that plan is not working out the way that you want it to, and somewhere in the middle of that plan, you reach a point of hopelessness where you say, this is impossible, it's just not going to happen. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to work, and I'm going to do this, I'm going to be this, and I'm going to go here, and I'm going to do this. So you're trying to make the impossible possible. Are you with me so far? Anybody been in this situation? When I look up the word impossible, I see that it's an adjective. I'm a big English guy. I like this. I like the English language and the words and how we use them. It's an adjective. We never use the word impossible unless we use it to explain something else. Some situation in our life that we think is impossible, and you may be here today or you may be listening today, and you use this word on a frequent basis, even if you don't say it out loud. As a pastor, I sit in front of people a lot, and it may be a marriage that something has went wrong, and I have people in front of me that are thinking to themselves, it's impossible. It's not going to work. It may be a parent-child relationship, and they're thinking the child's not going to do this, and the child's thinking the parent, and they're thinking it's impossible. It may be a financial situation where you think, and all of a sudden, the facts that you have to dwell on, okay, this is what I've got coming in, this is what's going to happen, and maybe this event has happened, and I don't know what to do, and this is not going to be met, this need is not going to be met, and all of a sudden we put it in that category of what? Impossible. When we start putting it in that category, then we begin to fear, we begin to worry, we begin to fret. Are you with me so far? You go to the doctor, and the doctor says, hey, this is going to happen. You begin to think about your future and your body and how it's going to work, and is it going to serve you? And you think to yourself, hey, listen, if this is true, then happiness in my life is going to be what? Impossible. And so we tend to always put things in this category, impossible. And God never intends us to fill this category up. And what I noticed was, when I look back at my Christian life as a whole, the times of worry, the times of stress, the times when I was discouraged and depressed and felt hopeless, yes, even as a Christian, were the times when I was filling that category of impossible up. I was filling it up. And you know why I filled it up? Because I went to the edge of my mind, and in my mind, I could not comprehend how it could be fixed. So I categorized it as impossible by my own logic. Being the smartest man that ever walked the face of the earth. Oh, what a vain statement. If you fill your category up, I just wanted to show you how you're categorizing yourself. Because I can't figure it out, because I can't understand how it's going to get better, how it can be resolved, I'm going to put it in the impossible category. I'm going to attempt to do this, and I'm going to attempt to do that. So guess what? You're going to stay on the sidelines waiting and wishing and wanting and hoping something happens, but not really a hope, because you stay discouraged. You stay stressed. I want to proclaim to you today that the Bible tells us, even in the scriptures I'm going to share with you today, that you have an opportunity as a child of God to be part of the impossible. You can either see the impossible, claim it as impossible, and be moved to the sidelines, or you can be part of the impossible becoming possible. I can bear witness today that as a child of God, He has let me witness some phenomenal things. I saw things that people put in the impossible category, and then after it was turned over to God and prayed about and believed that God could fix it, you were able to see things happen that were possible that you thought were impossible. Amen. And if I was left to explain how they happened, I would still have to say, I don't understand it. Je ne comprends pas. That was my phrase I had to learn in French class, because that was the one I usually said the most. I do not understand. Right? I do not understand. I do not understand. What happens when you get to a place where you do not understand? When I get to a place that I do not understand, I feel threatened. I feel weak. I feel vulnerable. Right? You do too. That's fear. That's anxiousness. I do not understand. I do not understand. But when I got to a place where I was able to say, I do not understand, but I know that with God, all things are possible, I'll quit thinking about me figuring it out. I'll give it to Him, because all things are possible. I want to give you two examples of this today. One will be as Jesus talks to His disciples. The other will be as the birth of John the Baptist and the birth of Jesus came, which gets us into our Christmas season. So Matthew 17, Jesus was speaking to His disciples. And we were able to look in on this event that happened during this time. We saw Jesus was not just making the impossible possible, He was giving a lesson for His disciples. The disciples were called on by a man to heal his son who was possessed by a demon. He had a son that was possessed by a demon. In the King James, it refers to him as a lunatic, meaning that he didn't have his right mind. And so because of this, he was harming himself, and he may get near water and fall in and drown, or get near fire and go in and be burned. And so the dad was perplexed, and he brought this son to the disciples. You say, why did he bring him to the disciples? Because if you go back earlier, you'll see that Jesus gave the disciples power. He said, you will be able to go out and represent me, and you'll be able to do things in my name. Now, notice, he didn't say, you will have power to do these things yourself. You will have power to see me do these things, right? You'll be able to go out in my name. I send you out. You represent me. Well, that's not just disciples. If you're a born-again believer in God, do you realize that you have said, I will follow Jesus? You are a what? You're a disciple. So he brought this boy to the disciples, and we don't know the in-between story, but we know that the disciples could not help this man. What must have happened? It must have been an extreme case where they said, listen, hey, we can't do anything. We can't even get him to stand still. We don't know what's going to go on. Listen, we can do anything next. Bring somebody else up here that's different, but we can't do anything for this young man. This father didn't give up. This father found Jesus. And he came to Jesus and he brought his son and he said, listen, your disciples couldn't help him. Listen to this story in Matthew 17. We're going to read verses 14 through 21. It said, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to the disciples, and they could not cure him. I want you to see the picture. Here's a father desperately loving his son, and he came, and he didn't demand Jesus did do this. He fell on his knees, the Bible says, before Jesus, and he cried out for the mercy of Jesus, and he said, I brought him to the disciples. Listen to Jesus. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation. Oh, here's this Jesus who we want to paint as always just soft-spoken and meek. Jesus was actually reprimanding his disciples here. He was actually using hard language. He said, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now, I want you to stop here because something happens. I want you to see this, all right? This man had a son that had a need. This son was not beyond healing, but the disciples put him in the category of impossible. This son was not incapable of being healed because we know that Jesus healed him, right? So when Jesus came, you will see that Jesus tells the disciples, because the disciples come in the next verses and say, Jesus, why couldn't we do it? And Jesus gave them not a hard reason to understand, a simple, clear message. You couldn't do it because of your unbelief. Now listen, these disciples never had the power to heal this young man. But they didn't believe in the power of God to heal this young man. There's a difference. Jesus believed in the power of God. So he said, because of your unbelief. So this is what happens, and this is key to the sermon, so you need to understand. In this last verse, it says, and Jesus, verse 17, answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. I want you to see what happens as this man brought this boy, and he was able to proclaim, listen, your disciples that you sent out to do your work, they said he couldn't be healed, so I'm bringing him to you. Do you know that Jesus represents Father God? Now hold on before you get past this. Do you know that you represent Father God? I get this. These disciples made God look bad. They made God look bad, and Jesus was upset about it. I get upset about it when somebody makes God look bad. God gets upset at me if I make him look bad. Jesus was upset, and he said, get out of the way. Bring him to me. I'll take care of him. So you know where the disciples had to go? They had to go off on the sideline. You know what happens on the sideline? On the sideline is where people don't play. They wait to get put in. When you go to that ball game and all of a sudden it's the last second and somebody scores the point and they win, it's the people that are on the field that run and jump and celebrate, right? The people on the sideline that wish they were a part of it, right? Eventually they'll celebrate, but disciples went to the sideline. Jesus said, come out of him, devil. And the boy was healed. And the disciples were on the sideline, and they had a question. They came to him, and they said, listen to these verses. Then came to the disciples of Jesus apart. This is key. This is how you know. They came to Jesus apart. Were they with Jesus? They were with Jesus when they were doing his work. When they saw Jesus, guess what? They were put to the side when they refused to believe when they were unbelievers, and then they came after everybody left and said, hey, why couldn't we do these things? Jesus said unto them, listen to verse 20, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto the mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Now, what is it that we have that is not included in that category? He said what? Nothing shall be impossible to you. Now, I want you to understand this. He was not saying, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to that mountain, move, and in your own power, you could move that mountain. What Jesus was saying, if you have faith that God can do it, then you're going to get to see God do a lot of amazing things. You'll see mountains moved in your life. But if you have unbelief, because you can't figure it out, because you can't understand it, you're going to be put on the sidelines, pal. Maybe a week, a month, a year, 5 years, 10 years. As a matter of fact, I've talked to people recently who have been on the sidelines 20 years because in their mind, they can't understand how situations can be resolved by God. So for that, they don't get to be part of the impossible. They have to look at it later and say, I don't understand how God did that. You could have been part of the rejoicing. You could have been part of the help. The disciples could have been part of the healing. Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a grain of mustard seed, he used something small that says, if you just had faith that God could do it past you putting something in the impossible category, then you could have been part of this. Remember, they came to him apart. They didn't come. They weren't part of him when he was doing that. Oh me, then I look back at my life and I think to myself, how many years have I spent on the sidelines? How many years have I been a spectator, knowing full well that God can do things that I can't explain, but thinking that I had to understand something, thinking that if God could just do something in the way I thought it would happen, I would give God this 5-step plan that if he would follow it, we could accomplish something together. Can I get a witness? Anybody else do that? I hear these people a couple of years ago, I heard these people that started being on this mindset of pray specifically. And I would listen to them pray specifically for some things, and they were specifically giving God a 5-step plan. God doesn't need you to draw out a 5-step plan. He does want you to pray specifically, but he didn't need your help in orchestrating how he's going to do it. That's when we bring our mind into it and we think, now God, listen, my marriage can be strong if my job is better, so give me a good job. My job can be better if my education is better, so give me a good education. My education can be better if I can afford it, so give me a scholarship. My scholarship could be better if I had good grades, so give me good grades. You see what I'm getting at? And so we pray, God, this systematic way, instead of knowing that if I live for God and trust God and believe past my mind in the impossible, that God can do the impossible and I don't have to be on the sidelines. I can witness it and praise God and bring glory to him, and somebody else in the world can see me as a participant in the impossible becoming possible. That will be the light that lets them see, hey, it's not in my mind. I see God doing the impossible in you. What do you have? Well, I have Jesus. Well, explain that. Let me explain it to you. Jesus Christ, he was the sinless Son of God. He lived his whole life, never sinned. He became the only sacrifice that could be given on my behalf because I'm a sinner. So God sent his one and only Son to be sacrificed like an animal, a lamb on the cross, and I have to accept that that sinless sacrifice covers my sin. I don't understand it, but I believe that's what God said. And then that Son, he died on that cross for me, was buried, then he rose from the grave. I still can't tell you how because I don't understand, but I believe it. Amen. And so because I believe it, I had to cry out to him and say, God, I need you to use that sacrifice to cover my sins. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe he was buried. I believe he rose again. And I believe I'm a sinner. I believe in what I don't understand. And I need you to be my Lord and Savior. Will you come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior? And Jesus came into my heart. He's my Lord and Savior. And I can't tell you that I understand any of it, but I believe it. And that person says to you, then why should I believe it? Just because you believe it. Because you can see the impossible happening in my life. Amen. You got something better than that? No, what do you have? Stress and worry, anxiety and fear. And here's the sad thing. Lots of Christians go around projecting stress and anxiety and worry and fear. And you're a part of the impossible if you want to be. But you're not going to be on the sidelines. The next story that we have comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1. In Luke chapter 1, Luke begins his gospel by telling us the story of Zacharias the priest and his wife Elizabeth. In the order of priests, Zacharias was one of the priests that did the temple duties. He was a Levite, a descendant of Aaron. So one of the temple duties for the priest to do was to go into the altar of incense. This represented the prayers of the people actually going up to God. And God wanted this incense to be burnt so that there would be a continual presence of man's prayers going to God. And the sweet-smelling savor of a repentant heart. And so it was a priest's job to go in and light these. And that priest, listen, that priest had to go through a lot. That priest had to know that, listen, on this particular day, in this particular year, it's going to be my job, the order of the priest. It was my job at this particular time to go in and be the one that lights this. This was a great honor. So because of this great honor, this priest had to go and sanctify himself. He had to go and make sure there was nothing wrong in between him and God. He had to totally devote to God. And on that particular day, it was his time to go in. Zacharias went into the temple to light the incense, and something incredible happened. Something that changed his life, something that changed our life. So I want to read you this today. It's in the book of Luke, chapter 1. I told you the story up to this point. Zacharias and his wife were not bad people. They were believers. He was a priest, for crying out loud. He was a priest that thought he was doing just everything God wanted him to do. Verse 6 says, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. They both were well stricken in years. So stop right here a minute. They had a problem. In the midst of everything that God had blessed them with and the peace he'd given them, what he hadn't given them was a child. And they had a logical issue. They were both too old to have children. She had never had children. Now they're both too old to have children. Just the way it is. One would say, hey, it's impossible for Elizabeth to have a child. And that's the mindset they had. I'm sure that the local physician looked and said, it's impossible. They had prayed for it, but it was impossible. Listen. They had no child because that Elizabeth was bearing, and they both were now well stricken in years. Verse 8, and it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of the course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense. When he went into the temple of the Lord, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside or without at the time of the incense. Listen to what happened. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. I would guess there's only one person in that room, and that's the priest. But on that day, we find out that angel was Gabriel. And when he looked up and saw Gabriel, that passage of Scripture means his knees knocked. He was afraid. Right? You would be too if you saw an angel. We don't know exactly the appearance of this angel, but we would imagine, we learned that he was in the presence of God, so this angel was shining like he had been in the presence of God. He was a dominating figure. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and he fear fell upon him, but the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. This is where we should have seen him praising the Lord. You mean to tell me that not only is my prayer going to be answered, but God has answered it in the form of an angel, which you don't see every day, standing in front of me. God is going to do the impossible. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, and turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient of the wisdom to the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Get this. Not only is God going to do the impossible by giving you a son, he's going to give your barren wife's womb the ability to bear a child. And this child is not going to be just a child. He's not just an honor student at such and such elementary school. This child is going to change the world. His name, by the way, call him John. I sent him to be just like Elijah. He's going to go and bear witness of Jesus who is coming, the Messiah. Get this, a priest is going to be blessed with the fact the priest is the one that's been talking about the coming Messiah, the coming Messiah. Now his son is going to be instrumental in being able to be a forerunner of Jesus. So you would think, joy. Listen. And Zechariah said unto the angel, Glory to God, this is the greatest thing I've ever heard. This is an answered prayer. No, he said, Whereby shall I know this? For I'm an old man and my wife well stricken in years. Translated, How can I be sure? How can I know it? He went past the point that his barren wife was going to have a child. He went past the point that God answered his prayer. He went past the point that an angel delivered the news. He went past the point that that child was going to be the most special child that was going to bear witness of Jesus. He went past the point that says not only is this child going to change your people, Israel, but the rest of the world. And he went back to his first area of not understanding. Get with me here. That's what happens to us. You leave here and said, God's going to do this and God's going to do this, and the devil can get you before you take a step off the sidewalk and says, well, I can't do this if this doesn't happen. He went back to being well stricken in years and his wife being barren. God was way past that. You're going to have a child. Do you get what I'm saying? He couldn't understand. So because he couldn't understand, he put it in the impossible category. And here's what happened. God doesn't. He doesn't like that. We saw that with Jesus. Where did he put his disciples? Somebody remind me. On the sidelines. Now get where this is going. You see it, right? Listen to Gabriel. And the angel answering said unto him, Hey, mister. I put that in there. I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. And I am sent to speak unto thee and to show thee these glad tidings, like this good news. And behold, thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak until the day that these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words, which shall be fulfilled in their season. Gabriel, at this point, informed the person that God was going to let be part of the impossible. A priest. He could have come out of that room that day and said, Glory to God Almighty. Not only did I get to light the incense, but God spoke to me through his angel, Gabriel himself. Excuse me. And he told me, my wife is going to bear a child. Now, here's what we don't think about. Do you realize how many lives could have been changed by that? You say, well, lives were changed. No, look, listen, stop back. You got to think through the scripture. If Zacharias could have said it before God did it, Now, God did it. And if me and you could show a believing faith in something we don't understand before God does it, do you know the people's life that it will change? Anybody can tell you what happened yesterday. Don't give me yesterday's forecast. But Zacharias, because he didn't and wouldn't and wouldn't believe, God shut his mouth up. You will be dumb. That means you won't be able to speak until the time all these things were fulfilled. And Gabriel said, hey, listen, mister. The first area you messed up believing was you saw an angel today. I came from God to you. Has this ever happened to you? So God gave him little things. And he went back to that first area of indecision because I don't understand it. And you know, we think about, I can't believe he did that. We think about the disciples after they'd seen all these things happen. I can't believe they did that. But I look at us. And here's what happens. This is a priest, man. We get to be these Christians that have walked with God forever. But then we go to our logical mind. And we become intellectual. And we think, if God could explain to me a little bit more detail, if he could just be able to let me know how he's going to do it, then I could be on board. If it makes logical sense to me. When we go on to the rest of the verses here, I want you to see the importance. It goes along with the message, verse 21, and the people waited for Zacharias and marveled that he tarried so long in the temple. They were waiting to see what happened to him. Why was he in there so long? And when he came out, he couldn't speak unto them. And they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple, for he beckoned unto them and remained speechless. What did he have to say when he came out? Nothing. What could he have had to say? Everything, right? This is what God's going to do. They were waiting for it. We saw you go in there and you were in there for a while. I've been in some problems. I've been in some situations for a while that didn't make sense, right? Wonder how I came out of them. Wonder how I was projecting while I was in them. Just something to think about. Listen, here's what happened. It says, and it came to pass, verse 23, that as soon as the days of his ministration were accomplished, he departed into his own house. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. What happened to Elizabeth? Two words. The impossible. He went home. He laid with his wife. Probably worked out because he couldn't say anything. What happened then? She had a child. She conceived. She conceived. That's impossible. Listen to her. Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, listen to her attitude, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. Boy, she was happy, right? God's done this for me. God's done this for me. What happened in there, Zacharias? What happened? I don't know. I don't know. I can't tell you. He could have been such a witness, right? The story doesn't stop there. 5 months, she had that child in her. On the 6th month, Gabriel was sent to earth again to visit a little teenage girl named Mary. She was a virgin. She had never been with a man. And he was going to tell Mary that something impossible was going to happen. I want you to listen as we read these verses. Verse 26, in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Do you know what she's being told here? You are going to give birth to the Messiah. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? You say, well, she asked the same thing that Zacharias did, but she didn't. Zacharias wanted to know how he could know it. Gabriel said, you can know it because God said it, and God sent it to me to tell you. That's how you can know it. Mary didn't want to know how she could know it. She just didn't understand how it could happen. There's a big difference. You see, Mary's still okay because me and you, we're always in a state of not understanding how it's going to happen. So then the angel throws something even heavier on her. Hey, Mary, here's how. I want to let you in on this. Listen to this. The angel said unto her, fear not. Now, she was afraid. This is what he said. How shall this thing, seeing I know no man, the angel, verse 35, answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Here's a stretch. You want an explanation, Mary? You're still not going to be with a man. The power of God is going to overshadow you. And the Holy Ghost is going to plant the seed of God inside of your womb. Oh, it's nothing perverted. Anyone who makes it something perverted and makes God a pervert, that person needs to watch out. You don't need to accept anything. There was no sexual relations with Mary. The Holy Spirit overshadowed her, and the seed of God and the Son of God was put in her womb because Jesus, who was God, had to come as a man. And to come as a man, he had to be put into the womb of a woman and come the way a man comes into the world. You say, is that important? Well, yes, if I'm asking for an explanation to say, hey, I don't understand it, and then God says, hey, listen, something's going to happen that you've never heard of before. Do I understand it anymore? No. But I want you to listen. The angel knew that she was a believer, that she would accept the impossible. He went on to tell her in the next verses, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she's also conceived a son in her old age. You see, they didn't have Facebook. They didn't go on and say, I'm pregnant. I've been pregnant 5 months. No, listen, they didn't know. The angel came, and the angel said, your cousin Elizabeth that lives over in Judah, she's 5 months pregnant. Listen, she's conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren. Listen to this statement, verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. The angel went on to say, hey, Mary, seeing that you've put this in an impossible category, but you've not rejected it, I want to give you another little tidbit. That barren cousin of yours that could never have a child, she's 6 months pregnant right now because nothing is impossible with God. So I know I just told you something impossible. Listen to her response. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary came back and said, I have no idea how this is going to happen. Zacharias said, I'm a priest. I should be able to understand this. I'm spiritually intellectual. God, please explain to me. Let me know how I can know this in order to believe it. Mary said, I am a servant of God. I don't have to understand. I will accept the impossible and wait for the possible. Amen. Glory to God. Isn't that good? Guess who was stressing? Zacharias, guess who was rejoicing? Mary. Guess which one you have a chance to be. Zacharias was moved to the sidelines. All he could do is watch his wife bubble and beam with the child he waited on all his life, but he could have no part of it. He couldn't speak. He couldn't even tell anybody. He was on the sidelines, not involved in the impossible. Elizabeth was living the impossible. Mary was living the impossible. Now watch when they get together. So Mary goes to Judah to see her cousin. This is good. And Mary arose in those days and went to the hill country in haste into the city of Judah, entered the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. Not like this. She had a salutation. Elizabeth, I'm here. She knew that her cousin who was barren, who wanted a child, she knew that she had a child. So she just said, hello. She was in the house. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, and whence it is unto me that the mother of my Lord should come unto me. For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believeth, for there shall be a performance of those things which are told her from the Lord. Mary gets to Elizabeth's house and says, Elizabeth, it's Mary. And when Elizabeth heard it, baby John in her womb heard it. Guess what? Mary didn't just walk into her house. The Lord Jesus walked into her house, and John the baby said, he is what I am all about. And he started just doing all of this, right? What was he doing? John began to praise God in the womb of his mother Elizabeth. And it says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, you want me to show you something ironic? Elizabeth began to shout and rejoice and proclaim, you are blessed among women. You have my Savior in your womb. Blessed are you. That's what the priest is supposed to be saying. But the priest is on the sideline because he didn't believe the impossible. He can't speak. So who's speaking? Those that participate in the impossible. Those that believe in the impossible. Did it sound like Elizabeth and Mary were full of anxiety and stress right now? Don't forget, Mary was going to have to explain being pregnant with a child and no husband. What are we going to do? What are we going to tell? I'm the handmaid of the Lord. I'm the handmaid of the Lord. We spend a lot of time, as smart as we are, trying to figure it out, don't we? The time that we're trying to figure it out so that we can accept it, we get moved right to the sideline. The impossible happens, and all we can do is visit it a little bit later and say, yeah, that happened. God gives us an opportunity to be part of the impossible. When he does, something different happens. It's not a stress. It's not an anxiety, even though it's the same not understanding. You see, I've been in situations, you've been in situations that you don't understand. You're going to continue to be in situations you don't understand. You don't have a choice with that. But you do have a choice as to how you respond to situations you don't understand. If you're a child of God, you have a choice to trust in God, that you're his child, that he will never leave you, that he will never forsake you, that he will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, that he has saved you, set you apart, has fellowship with you, has a plan for you, and no matter what happens in this temporary life, he will deliver you through it. There is no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able to bear. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Glory to God, right? And so you have an opportunity to know that, to know he can deliver you. And your job is to project it, to be going out here, being that light of the world, shouting and proclaiming that God is doing the impossible, not proclaiming you understand everything He's doing, bearing witness that God is working in your life, and you will begin to see an activity happen on your Christian field. You won't be on the sideline. You'll see the blessings of God pour into you. I had no idea this person was going to call me and offer me this opportunity. I can't explain it. It's impossible. Well, how did it happen? I'm a child of God, man. I don't have to know how it happened. I accept it. I went to the doctor and he told me this was going to be, and this one told me that. I even saw the picture that they said, listen, it's impossible. He's going to be born. He's never going to have a chance in life. And I've seen God take the impossible and make it possible. But we can choose to have to figure it out and be moved to the sideline and watch somebody else, and you'll never be that light. Let me tell you the lights in this story. The lights in this story are Elizabeth. The lights in this story are Mary. You want to see how scared Mary was? Listen to Mary's praise. And Mary said, verse 46, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. You know what great things are? Impossible things for us to understand. And holy is his name. Does she sound afraid? Does she sound anxious? Does she sound stressful? No. I want to be around her, don't you? Does she sound like she's on the sidelines? Listen, if you are here today, you are in one of two positions with God. You are either a child of God or you are not a child of God. You're the lost or you're saved. You've either accepted that Jesus Christ is your only way to get to God, He died for your sins, that blood that He shed on the cross is the only way, and you have to accept Him as Savior and believe that this man died 2,000 years ago, but He wasn't a man. He was a man that never sinned. Impossible. He was a man that could die and get you fellowship with God. Impossible to believe. He was a man that came from heaven. He was in the beginning with God, and He was God. That's impossible. I don't understand it. I believe it. Amen. He died for me, was buried, and He didn't stay dead. He rose from the grave. That's impossible. But I believe it. I believe it, and I can't explain it. And there's a peace that comes with it. But because I believe it, He said, I'm going to have you have a life where you see some impossible things become possible. You have to accept that first impossibility in order to see the rest. If you're here today and you've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have to first accept something you can't understand. It's impossible to understand. I can't even explain it. I can just tell you what God said. That was God's word. He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved from condemnation. For with your heart you believe and with your mouth you confess unto righteousness. That's the way it works. He never in that verse said, if you understand. And you can be saved today and know that you're saved. You just have to come and kneel to God and be able to say, God, I'm going to believe something today that I don't understand, but I do believe it because you said it. This Bible is as powerful as Gabriel. This is the Word of God. My prayer for you today is that you accept Jesus as your Savior by believing something that you can't understand. That's called faith. And if you're a Christian and you've taken that step of faith and you say, I've done that. I've believed in Jesus' death for my sins. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe that's why I'm celebrating now at Christmas. But listen, I'm full of stress and worry and anxiety. Well, I think I might be on the sidelines. I think I'm trying to figure out how all these things are going to happen because it needs to make sense to me. And that's what causes my stress. And I lay back in my seat sometimes and say, how is it going to work out? And then my mind just races and goes, but I'm a child of God. Listen, you believed the biggest thing. You accepted the impossible. Why do we refuse to go through life not living in the future impossibilities becoming possible? You're a child of God, man. It's time to come off the sidelines. You come off the sidelines the way that young man's father did. You get on your knees before God and you say, I don't have to understand it anymore, God. I'm taking a step of faith. And God said in his word, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You could be a child of God all your life, but not exhibit faith. You will not please your father. And God's speaking to us right now. We become lackadaisical. We become mediocre. We become people that live in a sense of mediocrity, that have to question all the things of life instead of living in the victory that God gives us through Jesus Christ, knowing we're a son of God, knowing that we're entitled to his blessings, knowing that we might not understand it, but we keep going through it because we're on the field, man. We get to participate. We're not on the sidelines. And joy comes on the field. How do I get back on the field, preacher? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. For by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, you didn't deserve the first thing, neither did I. You don't deserve the second chance, neither do I. But he's willing to give it because of grace. What do you have to do? You have to do something. It's your time to do something. It's your time to respond to God. It's your time to really say it and believe it. God, I trust you, even though I don't understand. When you begin to trust when you don't understand, you'll begin to see and rejoice like Mary and Elizabeth. As Christians, that's what God's calling us to today. Father God, I love you. I praise you and I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you minister to us through your word. I know your message went out today, Lord. I know it pierced hearts. It pierced mine as you were preparing it. I'm so sorry, God, for the time I spent on the sidelines, for the time that I thought I had to know what you were going to do. I can't get those days back, Lord. So many days I could have proclaimed things. I could have shown that light. I can't get them back, Lord. I can't change those lives that should have been affected by my light. Please forgive me for that. Thank you for showing me, Lord, what to do now. I pray, God, for every person in this room, every person under the sound of my voice today. I pray, Lord, if they've never accepted that first impossible thing that you did by giving your son Jesus, I pray today they have an overwhelming desire to come and pray and ask you for that forgiveness and accept Jesus as their Savior, Lord, and be a part of the impossible. I pray, God, that nothing stops them today. They have such a boldness, Lord, to come before you. And I pray, God, for Christians all over this room and all that are listening. Lord, show us ourselves today, whether we're on the field or on the sideline. Lord, show us our faith. Do we believe, Lord, in the impossible and your ability to do it? Are we saying we have to understand it? We have to be shown. Show us where we're at today, Lord. Call us to repentance today. Lord, as your children rededicate their lives all over this room and listening today, God, I pray you hear the prayers. Lord, they're a product of your word speaking to us. Lord, we stood in your presence today. In Jesus' name, amen.